let's do the thing.
We're recording now.
Yay.
When I opened it, I was not expecting that. Hey, everybody.
Out of context, I'm sure that's just lovely.
So,
when I opened it, I wasn't expecting that.
And that's the story of how I met Chevy Chase. Mike, this is going to blow your mind.
What?
Do you know what I have in my hand right now?
Who's getting blown?
Nobody, sadly.
Damn.
Wish it was me. I don't think I can live myself. I did a podcast while I was getting blown. I'd have to be if I was like, "Yeah, girl, you're doing great. Hang on, I gotta record my podcast."
Just don't do that podcast with me,
Mike. Could you? Oh.
You could call Caesar or Andy. You can do another Raw Reactor, but not with me on the line. Just don't do that.
But there's no wrestling on, Chris. What are we doing? Well, we're reacting to something else that is Raw.
If it's Raw, you're doing it wrong.
If it's Raw, I need to see a physician.
Yeah.
And that has been Mike and Chris's PSA on STDs. They're bad. Don't get them.
Don't get them.
You got to avoid all those dangerous STDs like chlamydia and babies.
What's in your box, Chris?
A baby, evidently. No! I hold in my hand.
I want to change the subject as quickly as possible.
I hold in my hand I forgot what they're called. God. An index card.
Mm-hmm.
With notes on it.
What?
With things to discuss during the show today.
What?
Professionalism. Preparation. Number one on the list. Are you ready, Mike?
Yes.
Socks.
Good. I enjoy socks. They keep my feet warm.
I'm not wearing any right now. How about yourself?
I am wearing socks because it has been unseasonably chilly the last couple of days.
Unseasonably chilly? Would you say it is sock weather?
It is sock weather, but it is not weather for my insulated socks. That will be later in the year. And I do have a pair of like really thick, woolly insulated socks that I love to wear during the wintertime.
Do they have a specific design to them, perhaps?
No, they're just kind of gray tubes.
Just kind of gray tube woolly socks?
Mm-hmm.
Like the desiccated corpse of an elderly Bigfoot that you wear on your feet to keep you warm?
No!
You said they're woolly and gray.
Not Bigfoot woolly.
But maybe, like, I don't know, what's less woolly than a Bigfoot?
A Sasquatch. That's the same animal.
I was about to say, Bigfoot's pretty woolly. Maybe like Snuffleupagus woolly? Or would that be more woolly?
Yes, I cut off Snuffleupagus's nose, I sealed up the end, and I turned it into socks.
That's not true. Snuffleupagus is imaginary.
No, he's not. He's real.
He wasn't always.
He wasn't always real. He was a drug-induced hallucination. Until like parents got wise to that, and then suddenly everyone saw Snuffy.
Just like the janitor from Scrubs.
I can't believe that socks was actually one of your talking points. That was a joke when I said that.
If you like socks, send a tweet to @thehomeworld with the hashtag MikeLikeSocks.
I think we actually killed about 5 minutes talking about socks just then.
About four.
That's too many.
That's too many minutes on socks. You know, I used to work in Fort Payne, Alabama, sock capital of the United States. If you wear socks, they were probably made in Fort Payne, Alabama.
That's a thing.
That's a fucking thing. I am now taking my Sharpie and crossing out socks.
So we're not changing the name of the podcast to Sock Talk?
I was thinking Room Full of Nerd Socks. Why ruin a good thing? We've already got the hashtag established.
Yeah.
Still be RFNS.
Yeah, but I don't have any nerd socks. Like, I see socks with Batmans and Supermans and Wonder Womans on them.
I got a pair of Deadpool socks in this month's loot crate, which you can watch me unbox at youtube.com/homeworldvideo.
I watched one of those videos of you unboxing a loot crate, and it was you going, oh, look at that, that's shit. Oh, look at that, that's shit. Oh, this t-shirt's kind of cool. What else is in here? Shit, 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 yeah.
Was that the Transformers one?
Was it? No, because there was some Minecraft shit in there, too.
Oh, yeah, no, I know the one you're talking about. That was the adventure crate.
Yeah, it had the cool Zelda shirt, which I will admit was a cool shirt, but...
The Zelda shirt, and that was cool. The keychain bottle opener was cool. I actually have that on my keychain. Like, half that box was really cool, and then you get to, like, all these, they were like, oh, it's gonna have some, Major League Gaming stuff in there, too. And it's like, here's all this shit for YouTube channels you've never heard of. Oh, thanks. Here's a Major League Gaming wristband. Can't wait to wear that in public.
Yeah, you would never know that what you just said about half the box being cool was true based on that video. It's like, there's a t-shirt and a bunch of shit.
I did say in the video I liked the shirt and the keychain, and then there was the Steve Minecraft keychain, and then the Adventure Time keychain, which I said was a weird cat thing, and it turns out it's actually, I know you don't give a shit, it's actually Cake, which is the gender-swapped Jake when they do a gender-swapped episode.
I think I recognized the character from Adventure Time, but I didn't know who it was. But you were just like, hey, it's a thing, and kind of tossed it aside.
I was like, hey, it's Adventure Time. I've watched maybe 4 episodes of this. So unless it's Finn or Jake or Princess Bubblegum, I don't fucking know who this is.
See, it could have been any of those characters, and I wouldn't have known their names.
And true Chris Luck fashion, it was... a fucking character I'd never heard of.
Well, there you go.
There you go. I have not worn my Deadpool socks yet, by the way.
They probably got lice in them.
No, well, I mean, they're Deadpool socks. That'd just be kind of keeping with the theme.
that's part of the gimmick.
It's part of the gimmick. There's, like, lice and dead cancer skin in there. Yep. What a great podcast this is turning out to be. Hey, Mike. You know what's going on right now?
San Diego Comic-Con.
Holy shit, you actually knew where this was going.
That's the only thing that's going on right now.
Not true. There was a pay-per-view last weekend.
Oh yeah, we should probably talk about that at some point.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute.
It was a rather unspectacular pay-per-view though, so.
Yeah, that's why I said we'll get to it in a minute. it wasn't great. San Diego Comic-Con's going on right now. There was, first off, Batman's 75th anniversary was this week.
Mm-hmm.
And they celebrated by putting Batman on a bunch of variant covers, you know, because Batman doesn't show up on enough covers to begin with.
He's only got 47 books with his name on the title.
That's like when they were like, it's Wolverine Art Appreciation Month. Every comic is going to get a Wolverine variant cover. And I'm like, as opposed to what? The standard Wolverine cover?
You don't have enough Wolverine. Well, now he's on, like, a Guardians of the Galaxy cover, so...
That's funny, because now the Guardians of the Galaxy are going to show up on all the covers.
Oh, yeah.
So that movie's about to be fucking huge. They had a big Hall of Batman thing, including a setup with a bunch of different designed cape and cowls. But notably, one of them was the Dawn of Justice cape and cowl,
mm-hmm.
which I honestly think looks pretty good.
Yeah, I saw it. It didn't look bad.
It looks what I expect. But then, also a cool thing they did, they had a wall of pictures of different Batman iterations over the past 75 years, and they very coyly hid a close-up profile shot of Ben Affleck as Batman in there and didn't tell anybody. And, of course, the internet went, I need a sock to come in.
Back to socks, really?
It's going
to
be the theme this week. did you see the close-up profile shot?
I did not, but I saw you say something about how many pictures do we need of Affleck looking like somebody stole his lunch money.
It's like this real, all you see is the bottom of the neck up, and it's a left side profile. So it's like the opposite side of what we saw in the first picture. And it's
like, are we sure it's not just a flipped version of that picture?
No. It's real shadowy. and he's just kind of looking down, very sad.
Well, that's Batman.
Yeah.
He's not a happy guy.
I will say this. It's a good look. Affleck looks very good in the costume. Unfortunately, when you do that real close-up profile, it really highlights one of the most common complaints, which has been the tiny ears don't look great.
No, they look like little head nipples.
They look like little head nipples.
Except I am still more forgiving of that than this chunky as shit logo.
The giant Dark Knight Returns Batman?
Yes, the big block with little spikes coming off of it.
I'm sending you a link.
I know they've released like a actual like movie logo, and that's still that same ugly chunky logo with a Superman inside the middle.
They did also earlier this week release a picture of Henry Cavill as the Superman dressed as a Jedi. I think it's just trying to piss people off at this point.
Looking at this picture, the ears look better than they did in the first shot that we got.
They do, but they still don't look great. They need to be just like another 2 or 3 inches bigger. Not like fucking Keaton ears.
I think if they were still this size, but instead of like arcing to the point from the front, if it just went like straight up and then arced back, it would look better.
Yeah.
Even if they were this little. Still.
Tiny little. But, yeah.
Tiny bad ears. He's so cute.
first thing I thought when I saw it with the ears like that, I was like, Adam West?
No, if they were Adam West, they'd be pieces of fabric sewn onto the side of a helmet.
But I don't hate the idea of Ben Affleck as Batman, especially the Batman they're going for. They could certainly do a lot worse.
Yeah.
They could put George Clooney back in there.
I was just about to say, ironically, George Clooney would be perfect for this Batman too.
George Clooney wasn't a terrible Batman. I think he would have been a great Batman if he had just had, you know, a good script and a director who knew what he was doing. Which I feel confident in saying, because even Joel Schumacher apologized for that movie now.
See, my thing with that was that it's like, I still really loved Batman Forever. Are we going to go on about Batman again? I think so. But the thing with Batman Forever was, even though Schumacher was directing it, Tim Burton was still there, and I think he kind of had Schumacher on the leash. And when he was like, neon lights, he kind of pulled him back a little bit. And
man, I feel like there's an entire podcast somewhere on the website where we talk about this.
But then in Batman and Robin, there was no Burton there to hold his leash, so neon lights everywhere.
Neon lights! I'm trying to find which episode of ARG that was.
It was like ARG episode 3.
Number 20.
Really? We got that far into it before we did the Batman rant?
Batman's Licorice Fruit Roll-Up Mask. Because remember, it came about because I think we were talking about him unmasking at the end of Batman Returns.
Yeah, and he kind of peels this thing off. Hasn't to tear it off like, the neck.
Because I was like, it's so ridiculous that the fucking eye makeup disappears. And you were like, it's so fucking ridiculous he peels a goddamn fruit roll-up off his face. ARG number 20. Go check it out. It's not one of the worst ARGs we did.
Half the cowl still going up the back of his head because it's all just one giant piece of rubber. What a stupid fucking movie that was. Anyway.
Did you watch 30 Rock at all?
I saw some episodes of it.
Me and a friend of mine one day... We spent a couple hours taking shots of Alec Baldwin and shots of the end of Batman Returns and kind of mixing up those images and quotes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd watch 30 Rock, you'd really appreciate it. There was some great stuff there. I just thought I'd mention that. So
it's a good story, bro.
Good story, bro. Also at Comic-Con, our favorite topic of conversation on this podcast...
Power Rangers. Oh, really? I thought you were going to go into the Sting stuff, and I was just trying to throw a wrench in your conversation.
No, there was some Power Rangers stuff.
Really?
This is almost like a professional podcast, except every time we transition, we go, oh, shit, you were being serious.
You were actually talking about the thing I was talking about.
Oh, we're actually on the same... Oh, this is what happens when Chris makes notes. 118 Ranger keys? No, that's wrong. That's how many photos they have of the different shit here. Anyways, the next wave of Ranger keys were announced.
Oh.
And it's basically going to be all your extra Rangers, your sixth Rangers and your extra Rangers, like your Phantom Ranger and Blue Centurion, things like that.
Well, of course, because the Silver Ranger just showed up on the show right before they went on hiatus, and now they're going to start using those characters.
Yeah, which, by the way, August 30th? Maybe September 30th. September 30th, yes. Super Mega Force returns. And I'm sure that will be the return of us discussing episodes in the podcast, usually followed by, man, that was so much better when they did that on Gokaiger.
No, I am not going to do that.
It's also going to feature all your female Rangers in this wave.
They finally got the memo that girls wanted the stuff too?
There's something interesting about that in just a second, too. There is also a kind
of
limited...
there's a catch on it.
There is also a limited edition Titanium Ranger key that's coming out at some point.
Ooh.
This is also going to feature keys that originally were only packaged with other toys, like the Red RPM Ranger, which I believe is also packaged with... what the fuck are they calling it? The Turbo Falcon Megazord.
Oh, is that... yeah.
McCulkin or whatever. McCulkin? I can't remember his name from Gokaiger. Yes, Macaulay Culkin. They were like, we need to form the Ultra Megazord, and Macaulay Culkin was like, ah!
But it was like old, coked out, hobo-looking Macaulay Culkin?
Hobo-looking, ah, with a cigarette hanging out his mouth, ah! So, yeah, there you go. Next wave of Ranger keys. And there is talk about Bandai continuing the Ranger keys going forward, which I like the keys. I think the keys are a cool gimmick. And having watched some reviews of the keys and seen them compared to their Japanese counterparts, I dare say I think I like the American ones better.
What?
What? Well, the...
heresy.
If you watch any kind of comparison video, the American keys are like half the size of the Japanese keys,
right,
for starters. But there's no like lost detail or anything. There's some like little paint differences here and there on a few of them. For the most part, the keys are identical. Our keys are a little fatter too, but that's because all of them have the spring feature in them, where you can press it and they pop open, like on the show.
Yeah, the Japanese ones weren't spring loaded, were they?
No, they weren't. They were some. There was like a limited edition spring loaded set that was all the Red Rangers and all the Gokaiger keys.
Mm.
But that was the only ones that were spring loaded. Whereas in America, all of them are spring loaded.
So suck it, Japan.
And I do admire the restraint of Bandai, because I said from the very beginning, I thought for sure these were going to be fucking blind bags.
Oh, yeah. Well, they do have those, though.
They're going to have those. And, I mean, that's cool, I guess. But the main keys that everybody would want have been sold in packs.
Mm-hmm.
I do really admire that restraint to not be like, hey, buy the blind bags. One in every 20 is the Green Ranger.
You might find it. You probably won't, but give us your money.
You got another Blue Wolf Ranger. Oh, man. The other little bit, because it's funny you said they finally got the memo that girls watch Power Rangers. Some Dino Charge toys have shown up. Charge.
That's the new one.
That's the new one. The adaptation of Kyoryuger, which is supposedly going to have some Go Busters elements in it too. Anyway, some toys showed up at Comic-Con. Notable, a Gabriel Revolver. I cannot say the names. I'm like 90% of this fucking Kyoryuger shit. There's so many Y's and O's in it. The gun, which looks about the same. But they showed off some of the Zords. One of the Zords, the Zyuthenryu Dressera, is Kyoryu Pink Zord in Kyoryuger. It's a Triceratops,
mm-hmm,
with a drill tail. It's hot pink. In the Megazord, the mecha over there, the first big mecha, and most of their mechas, the first one, though, the Komatsuki Gatai Kyoryuzen. I've got all these pages pulled up so I can mispronounce these names terribly.
Our listeners appreciate it.
The Dressera Zord is the left arm. So you have like a big pink left arm with a drill on it.
Mm-hmm.
Bandai of America has evidently decided that boys don't want to buy a toy with a pink arm. So for the American release, the Pink Ranger Zord is painted dark blue.
Huh.
Now,
although this has sort of a backwards precedent, because the American Shogun Zord, the white one, was painted pink.
Was it?
Yeah. At least I think it was.
No, I think you're thinking of, because there was no, because the Shogun Zord was from Cockade Ranger, and the Crane Zord had some pink on it, but it wasn't, it was the White Ranger Zord.
Toys.
Oh, you mean the toys, too. That's,
yeah, that's what I'm saying with the, like, them swapping it. Yeah, with the toy version of the Shogun Megazord. The one that was white in the show, because there was no Pink Ranger in that season in Japan, right. They painted pink for the American release.
That's interesting.
And there is a giant pink arm on it. Maybe that's why they decided to change this one. Maybe that one didn't sell so great, and they were like, yeah,
here's the kicker. The first big Megazord you see in Kyoryuger. Have you watched any of Kyoryuger?
I haven't yet. Well, I've I saw like the first episode, because there was the whole like the gunplay thing. Just yeah. As, like, we had had, like, five major shootings in the country, it's like, I wonder how this season's gonna go over in America.
Can't wait to see how this translates. Anyway, I was gonna say... sorry, I got sidetracked by a text message. The first major Zord, the Kamatsuki Gatai Kiryuzen. The biting combination dinosaur god.
You just sound like you're having a stroke every time you say one of these names.
I really do. The way it's composed, the main body is the Red Ranger Zord, which is a T-Rex. And it's like the legs straighten out and the body turns sideways. And so you have the T-Rex legs and then the torso. And then the head is one shoulder and the tail is another shoulder. And then another head kind of pops up in the middle. The left arm is the Pink Ranger Zord, which will now be a dark blue. The right arm is the Blue Ranger Zord, which is a lighter blue. So. And again, this also brings up the issue of if they do that in the show, this is just more fucking time Saban's going to have to spend recoloring shit.
Although maybe that's why they filmed the Gokaiger season like 2 years in advance.
Yeah,
so they had time to reshoot all this crap.
Time to go back and digitally recolor all of the Dino Charge stuff.
Yeah, like the Kira Dino Charge.
I should also tell everybody I'm kind of tired right now. I've been on a day shift schedule the past couple of days, and tomorrow I go back to working night shift. So I've stayed up a little longer than I normally do.
That's why he's just kind of slurring his way through all these Japanese words.
Just kind of having a seizure over here.
The Kira Jug has...
We're going to test and see if he's had a stroke by asking him some questions about things he normally likes. What kind of things do you like, sir? Kira Jug. Oh, it's a bad stroke.
It's really bad.
He's dead. He's fucking dead.
He's still speaking, though. No, dead.
He's dead. He's fucking gone. He's dead as fuck. He's dead as fuck. That's really all there is at San Diego Comic-Con right now. We're actually recording this on the day the podcast is going to go up, and preview night just ended. This is weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
We always do this, though. I don't know what you're talking about. We don't record these normally on Wednesday.
Or earlier. Although I think it's only one time that we did it on, like, a Tuesday night.
We tried for a while there to record them on Tuesdays, I remember, and it didn't work because it was like, well, we just fucking recorded one, didn't we? One just went up. What's happened? It's Tuesday. Fuck. Wednesday's a good medium.
Like, yeah, we were thinking, like, we should get ahead on it, and so we recorded one on Thursday. It went up on Friday, and then we recorded another one on Tuesday, and it's like, what the... There's nothing to talk about. It's only been 3 days.
It's such a hard balance with this podcast because we have discovered we can't record on Tuesday. That's too early. We don't like to record on Thursday because that means as soon as we hang up, I'm like, I gotta edit this shit and upload it right now so we can go up in the morning. We can't really do any kind of a buffer because if we get more than a week ahead, everything we talk about is dated.
Mm-hmm.
We're just in the fucking moment with this podcast, man.
It's the problem with doing a somewhat topical podcast. Finding when's the best time to talk about the new stuff before it's too old.
I hope you appreciate what we go through to bring you entertainment, Tarv.
Yeah. Chris is losing hair.
Mike hasn't shit properly in a year. That's not related to the podcast, but...
29 years.
29 years. I was born ready to podcast. Mike was born shitting fire.
No, Twitter says that you are not ready for this podcast.
So, I mean, of course, the other big thing that happened at San Diego Comic-Con, Sting shows up crashing the WWE panel.
What?
Ripping off CM Punk.
Or just being a surprise.
Just being a surprise panel guest. Could you imagine if Sting had done like Punk did and just walked in and was like, when are we gonna sign me to a fucking contract? I'm ready to go.
Of course, that'd be when Triple H comes out. I mean, we've been trying to sign you for 14 years.
I'm surprised the panel didn't end with Triple H like coming out and kicking Sting in the balls, pedigreeing him right there. No! You had... It was a weird fucking mix of guys. You had the lifetime WWE guy, Hulk Hogan. Ignore the, like, decade or so he was with other companies. He's a WWE guy. He's a WWF guy, if you want to be really fucking picky about it.
He's the eternal company guy, except for when him and Vince have a fight and he goes elsewhere.
He's the eternal company guy, except for when the bills need to be paid. You had Paul Heyman, the ECW guy. You had Daniel Bryan, the Ring of Honor guy. And then fucking Sting, the WCW guy, shows up. If AJ Styles had been there, he'd have been eating a corn dog in the audience. Because he's off doing other shit right now. And that's a fucking weird-ass picture to see. And to realize that... You would normally expect, like, Triple H or Vince or somebody to be in that picture. But that was just those four guys.
It really is the, like, sort of the best mix of the last 30 years.
Could you imagine a stable with all four of those guys? I don't think I'd want to imagine it now, but...
Maybe if they were all in their prime. Paul Heyman's always sort of been a dumpling, but, like, if you had a younger Hogan and Sting teaming up with Daniel Bryan.
Paulie Dumpling. I mean, it's such a great time to be like a old wrestling fan now too, I guess, because after all these fucking years of Sting's never gonna come to WWE, Sting's never gonna do it, it's no longer a matter of if, it's just a matter of when's he gonna show up.
Well, it's like, as far as I know, because this was part of the toy deal,
mm-hmm.
and I think that they have a merchandise contract with Sting, which is why he's got t-shirts on the site and is in the video game, but they don't have him signed to like a wrestler's deal.
Right. Well, I don't think he's ever going to get like a wrestler's deal. I think he'll get the Legends deal. They might get a match or two out of him, but Sting's not going to have a what you would consider a run.
Well, no, and he shouldn't, because he's like in his 50s, and
yeah.
I mean, he could still kind of go if you give him the right guy to work with, but...
Yeah, if Undertaker can go, they'll try to do Sting and Undertaker. I imagine maybe they'll try to squeeze some other matches out of him. I don't know what. Did you see the fucking top five Sting matches WWE did?
If they're not all against Ric Flair, then they're wrong.
No, it was, it was like WWE.com's top five Sting matches. Sting dream matches or whatever.
Oh, dream matches? Not like ones that actually happened?
Yeah, it was like the five matches we want to see Sting have in WWE. And now that I'm on the spot, I'm not going to be able to find this goddamn fucking article. Top five Sting dream matches. I'm probably wording the fucking thing wrong. And it was
You sound so damn tired.
It was Kane.
Nope. I can say right now.
John Cena.
Nope.
I want to say Daniel Bryan was on there.
Yeah, that one probably wouldn't be too bad.
And there was one other kind of weird one I can't remember. And then Triple H.
No.
Not a one of them was The Undertaker. Not a one of them was anybody you would really want to see Sting face.
See, the one guy that I always sort of fantasy booked him against was Rock. Because he was always sort of the second guy. It's like there was Goldberg and Steve Austin. That was the real dream match of the late 90s.
Oh, here we go. Okay, I got it completely wrong. Number five was Kane.
None of those guys that I put in there were actually on the list.
I only got two wrong. Number five was Kane.
Kane.
Number four is Jericho. I was waiting for you to have some witty comment.
Huh. It's like, I was trying to think if, like, surely that happened in WCW, but I guess maybe it didn't.
WCW didn't happen. You know that. The company never existed. It was just Ted Turner and Eric Bischoff telling fart jokes for 2 weeks on TNT. Number three is John Cena.
Which, no.
As you frantically search for Sting versus Jericho WCW on the internet. Number two, Bray Wyatt.
No.
It's like, again, that would be a Sting 15 years ago. Yes, Sting today. I don't see the point.
I don't even see the point 15 years ago. It's like they don't have similar working styles. I guess they have similar gimmicks and that the lights go out, but they're not
going to strap Husky Harris up to the fucking rafters. That's for sure.
it's not like those two guys. I don't see ever being like, I want to see that guy against that guy.
I just imagine him like descending from the rafters, but you know, he's just being Bray Wyatt. So he's like got this look on his face like, whoa.
They'd have to get him like hung upside down in his crab walk position.
You know what it'd be? It's just suspend the fucking rocking chair. And number one, of course, for some goddamn reason, Triple H.
That's because Triple H is running the company now, and he likes to believe that he was a much bigger star than he ever actually was.
Oh, no, stop dropping those truth bombs. You're going to get pedigreed. This is why they won't hire us. And of course, the thread where I found this, everybody's like, that's so weird. They spelled Undertaker wrong for number one. Cena kind of falls in that same category as everybody wanting Undertaker versus Cena. It's just kind of a generational. He's the guy now. He was the guy then.
But Undertaker was never really the guy.
Well, they really want to see Undertaker now with Cena just because Cena's the guy and he never faced off for the streak. Doesn't matter now.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter now.
It doesn't matter now.
But no, that's just like one of the things with how much they put over the Undertaker. It's like, yeah, he's always been there and he was kind of had a rocket strapped on his ass as soon as he showed up back in like 90 or 91.
Yeah.
But I mean, even then, he was the guy who worked with the guy who made the money. He was never the top guy in the company. When he showed up, it was Hogan. Hogan left, right. It was Brett and Shawn. Brett and Shawn left, it was Austin, and then Hunter, or then Rock, and then Hunter, and then John Cena. It's never been Undertaker.
So now here's a fun fact about that list, though. Number five versus Kane. March 6, 1993, WCW Saturday Night, Sting faced off against Bruiser Mastino. Bruiser Mastino... It's Glenn Jacobs during a brief run in WCW. Match already happened.
Yeah, we can't have that again.
And it's worth noting too. He's kind of got the fake diesel hair. It's grown out a little bit.
Was it after the fake diesel run?
This was March of 93, so no.
No. Would that have been before Isaac Yankem even?
Oh yeah, this was before he was even in WWF.
Well, I didn't know, because he's had so many gimmicks, I didn't know if at one point they brought him in and then, like, this is not working, so you need to go elsewhere.
Yeah. No, he didn't show up in, I mean, like, his Wikipedia page doesn't even mention his WCW time specifically.
No, it goes, but he was in WWE in 95.
Yeah, it looks like he was never actually in WCW. He might have just been a local jobber. Looks like he was in, like, USWA and the Christmas creature. It's one of those things you always forget about until you read it, and then you go, oh yeah, that was Kane.
I still want to see the three-way match between Kane, Kevin Nash, and Luke Gallows.
Yeah.
Because Kevin Nash was Diesel, and then he left, and Kane was the fake Diesel for a while. And then when Kane had the whole thing where he was losing his mind, Luke Gallows was the fake Kane. So at some point, Kevin Nash needs to come back as the fake Luke Gallows.
Does the match end and you find out it was just all in Ric Flair's mind? Woo! I gotta lay off the booze, Hunter.
He wakes up in a recliner with just a pile of like Wild Turkey bottles around him.
Surrounded by empty Wild Turkey bottles and Hall of Fame rings. Ooh!
Whoa! Or there's one actual Wild Turkey animal wandering around him too.
Also, inexplicably, he is just pouring blood. So as we mentioned, wow,
when was that even conversation?
This show goes a lot smoother when I make notes. This has gone remarkably smooth, which is good because I'm half awake, and if we didn't have a plan, this would be terrible. This would just be me going, Mike, talk. So talk about your asshole.
They did Comic-Con. There was Sting, Ranger Keys, with Daniel Bryan and Paul Heyman.
By the way, fun fact, somebody pointed out Daniel Bryan betrayed Sting at Comic-Con.
He betrayed Sting?
Yeah, but Bryan just got more over it, backfired on him.
What'd he do?
I'm being sarcastic. Oh. It's a joke.
I thought that something actually happened and like... Sting
everybody,
shake his hand and he snubbed him or something. And
everybody betrays Sting and that's how they turn heel, but Brian would do it and he'd just get more over it. That's the joke.
I missed the joke.
And then Ric Flair just shows up and kicks Sting in the balls.
We make more jokes about Ric Flair being drunk and crazy.
My favorite Ric Flair is the one that just shows up and kicks people in the balls for no reason. Miz! Whack! Woo! Love you, Nate. There was a pay-per-view this past weekend.
There was a pay-per-view.
I feel remiss calling it a pay-per-view.
People paid for it.
Did they? I don't even want to call it a special event. This was the second annual Battleground pay-per-view. You could just take a look at the card for the first one and just kind of grasp how much the landscape has changed.
I'm bringing up, like, I brought up the pay-per-view.
On Wiki?
On Wikipedia. Now I have to go back and see what the previous one's card was. Now that
I got it right here. Let me just run this down for you real quick.
I got it open now, so I can follow along.
Battleground 2013, Dolph Ziggler defeated Damian Sandow. Del Rio defeated Rob Van Dam for the World Heavyweight Championship. I believe that was Van Dam's last match before he took his break last year.
It was a hardcore match.
Hardcore match. A hardcore match into 2010's WWE, which just means they were a little more aggressive and angry. Yay.
They were able to do that chair against the shoulder blades just a couple more times.
Whack each other with that trash can two more times. The Real Americans defeated Santino Marella and the Great Khali. Remember the tag team push of 2013?
Yeah, that was great.
So I'm just looking at this. I'm like, oh, there's two tag matches on this. And one was just a tag match for the sake of having a goddamn tag match. Curtis Axel defeated R-Truth to retain the Intercontinental Championship. Remember that period there where Curtis Axel was kind of undefeated and held a belt, no matter how worthless that fucking belt is? AJ Lee retained the Divas title against Brie Bella. The Rhodes brothers defeated The Shield in the match that was hailed as the best match of like the year to date back then.
That was a good match, though.
That was a great fucking match. How the Mighty Have Fallen. Bray Wyatt defeated Kofi Kingston because he had just debuted. They needed to do something with him. CM Punk defeated Ryback. Miss you, Punker. And then Brian and Orton in a no contest in the first of 2 million for the vacant WWE Championship.
Wasn't that when Big Show came out and punched both of them out?
No. I don't believe so. Was it? Where's the... Let's see.
I thought that's why it was a no contest. Oh, no, that was a Survivor's... What? Who knows?
Yeah, that was... oh, no, that was... He had the match for... Maybe it was. Maybe it was. I don't remember, honestly. I kind of block out everything.
Oh, yeah. Aftermath. Stephanie McMahon fired Big Show after knocking out Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, that was when he came out. He was supposed to just punch out Bryan, but then Orton got in his face, and so he punched Orton, too. Because he was... That's when he was kind of the authority's whipping boy.
I bought your lease, or your deed, or whatever. Yeah. I bought your deed,
I Paul. Own your house, Paul.
This is... Totally a thing bosses do. Oh, man. You know what's great? Any angle that ends with the Big Show crying in the middle of the ring. So, that was, last year in 2013, a really good pay-per-view. Bryan and Orton were not, you know, in the fucking state they were at the end of that feud, where they had wrestled like 20 fucking times. And each time just ended screwier and screwier and screwier. So the card for 2014, and we'll run down the matches as we go. On the pre-show, Adam Rose defeated Fandango. The winner was really just Layla's boobs. They looked really good. and you could tell how good the pre-show was because Mike is just silent.
Well, there were two matches on there that had really no point. I mean, they've been putting Layla and Summer with just anyone who's facing Fandango, so it's not like they've joined Adam Rose. And then there was Cameron and Naomi, which, I mean, what a blow-off for that feud.
I mentioned on, I can't remember if it was Twitter on fan forums, like, the most unfortunate thing about this is after trying for a year and it being so stale, this would be the perfect opportunity for Brodus Clay to come out, talk some sense into the girls, and then you have the revived Brodus Clay and the Funkadactyls, because they weren't doing anything else with them when once they split them up and turned to Brodus heel. Unfortunately, we fired Brodus.
Yeah, they got rid of him, so... Oops.
And I can't believe they fucking dropped the ball with that. Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
But no, it's like, when they let go of Brodus, well, even when he turned heel, and it was just Cameron and Naomi kind of doing whatever they were doing, it's like, why are these two still together? The gimmick's over, and I don't mean over as in people like it, it's over as in done. But they're still coming out to that just cheesy music, doing the cheerleader deal, and it's like, no, it's finished. Break them up already. And now they finally did, and Cameron defeats Naomi by, like, pulling the tights or something. It was some screwy finish. And
Of course it was.
And it was, who cares? I don't even think they followed up with it on Raw, did they?
No. Well, Cameron was in the handicap match facing off against Nikki.
Yeah, but, I mean, there was no mention of her and Naomi or their breakup or anything. It's like, Cameron's a heel now, so...
Cameron beat the shit out of Naomi, which that's really tragic because Naomi's really good in the ring, and Cameron.
Watching that match, it's like, I had to go back and figure out when Tough Enough was.
Yeah.
It was 2011.
Yeah.
So she has been with the company for 3 years.
Still can't
and
wrestle.
Still can't run the ropes properly.
Yeah, they fired Miss USA for that kind of thing. Or, well, they kicked her out of the show. Or did she elect to leave? She elected to leave.
I think she actually hurt herself.
Really?
But, yeah, she did the butt pad so that she could hit the ropes harder. And they said that it was cheating. And others were saying, well, it means that she wants to win this. And some silly nonsense.
Ultimately... They fired everybody from that show but Cameron.
Yeah.
God, that still pisses me off. I love Tough Enough and I want to see it come back, but at the same time, it's like, what's the fucking point? You're not going to see any of these people outside of the first year. Remember Maven?
Hey, Maven, after about like 3 years with the company, had a decent run.
He did. He got that illustrious honor of eliminating The Undertaker at the Rumble.
Yeah.
I mean, he got the fuck beat out of him afterwards, but the point stands.
No, for like the 2 years after he did that elimination, he had a decent run.
He did. I imagine we'll see him pop up in the company again one day. Not anytime soon. One day. Holding out for you, Maven. Holding out for you.
I think his biggest, the biggest thing that held him back was Maven. That is not like the badass name of a professional wrestler.
I wonder how many conversations back there were like, oh, you mean Raven? Oh, what? Oh, his eyebrow game's strong, I guess. 2 out of 3 falls tag match for the WWE Tag Team Championship. The Usos retained against the Wyatt family. You and I have been going back and forth for a couple months on when the Wyatts were going to finally win those fucking giant pennies.
Mm-hmm.
Still ain't got them, Mike.
I know.
They'll get them soon. Survivor Series. I can feel it.
Well, now I think it's too late.
You think it's too late?
Because now they have lost cleanly to the champions twice in a row.
Yeah.
It's like they clearly can't get the job done. I mean, maybe if they do like a cage match or something at SummerSlam or some silly gimmick match, then maybe. But they've already lost twice clean, so the only thing they can do now is whack them with chairs and possibly beat them.
Here's a question for you that I saw asked somewhere else. Because you watched wrestling like when you were little, right?
Briefly.
When you turn on wrestling now and you see a tag match and it's Hillbillies versus Samoans, do you have flashbacks to like early 90s WWF?
A lot of this stuff that they've been doing recently. More with just silly shit like Adam Rose and Fandango.
Hey, you're being a lemon. I don't.
What if I want to be a lemon? What if a lemon wants to have his own party? A lemon party, as it were.
I think everybody listening to this should Google that and see where they can have a lemon party.
Don't do it. Don't.
Do it.
Children.
Do it. Children, if you're listening to this, your parents are irresponsible and they deserve whatever happens to you after you Google that.
But no,
But thank you for listening. But thank you for listening, small children.
If the Usos were wearing, like, some tribal gear.
They are!
I mean, like, the loincloth nonsense.
Anyways, AJ Lee retained against Paige. A wonderful match with no kind of emotion or reason to exist other than a rematch clause because the heel turn didn't happen until the next night, so it was just two people who really liked each other having a match. And that's what you want to see on a pay-per-view.
Well, face-and-face matches that they build as having, like, mutual respect with each other, they can work. They didn't do it well with this one. Paige is not a very good face.
No. I think she's going to do much better now that she's heel.
Even though when she turned face right before she came on the main roster in NXT, but right. She was still sort of an edgy face. And I think that was a much better version of her than the sort of whimpering rookie that she was for the first couple months of her main roster run.
I'm just glad we don't have to deal with any more of this Paige on the mic praising AJ nonsense that sounded just so goddamn forced and terrible. And every time she got up, you were like, she's gonna hit her with a mic now. And then she would just smile and leave. And no, that's not how this works.
Someone with the look of Paige should never use a word like frenemy.
At the same time, though, them as a tag team called the Frenemies. Oh my god. I boner city.
No, Paige.
Paige.
Paige versus Natema.
Oh. I don't even know what to say to that.
But Paige broke up. Damn
Paige it. Paige is over. Rusev defeated Swagger by countout. Matched the little controversy to it.
Which shouldn't have. That was stupid.
There was a real life tragedy. Maybe an allusion was made to it. How could you make that worse? I know. Then you defeat the All American face. Go Russia.
Well, I think that
you had they had an audience actually cheering for Jack Swagger and just fucking fed him to Rusev.
But I think that they had planned on the angle going a little further until the backlash, which
someone, is a much better name for a pay-per-view.
Someone could say and have said that she was talking about the plane that Russia shot down. There's a fly right in my face. But she just said recent events, and Putin's been doing a lot of nasty shit over the last couple years, so I don't think it was necessarily referencing the plane, but I think because of the controversy that was caused from that, they were going to have Swagger come back at SummerSlam, but now they're just trying to kill off that angle because it got the wrong kind of heat.
Yeah.
Which, it's the news media. If they had done some shit like this on NCIS, where some Russian nationalist was like, yeah, we're awesome and fuck America, then it'd be like, it's TV drama. That's what they do. But for some reason, when wrestling does stuff like this, it's going too far. Them damn wrestlers.
Damn wrestlers. Why can't they just be hillbillies like we know and love?
When no show, save for probably Rocky and Bullwinkle, has milked the evil Russian gimmick more than professional wrestling.
I'd agree with that, yeah. Following up into this was supposed to be Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. This I saw a lot of people really pissed off about. Ah, what the fuck? What?
I guess the fly that was bugging me during my last tirade flew over to Chris's house.
Oh, I had Facebook open and somebody messaged me on Facebook, and I did not expect that noise. And I was like, oh god, is it still recording? What's wrong? What's exploding?
That weird like, boom, boom, boom.
Which was really loud through my headphones. Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose was supposed to happen here. It was hyped up. A lot of people were really excited to see this match. God damn, stop messaging me. I'm going to close that window.
That's what I would do.
It did not happen. Did not happen.
But it wasn't just a thing like they got rid of Dean Ambrose.
Right, he came out, he beat the shit out of Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Supposedly the reasoning I saw for that, supposedly Dean Ambrose is a little beat up and a little injured. And rather than injure him more in a full-on match, they put that off till SummerSlam and just have him beat the fuck out of Seth Rollins, which way more fits Dean Ambrose's character right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it works with what's going on in the company right now. It's like the authority doesn't want Dean Ambrose to get his hands on Seth Rollins.
Right.
So they would try to screw with him. Of course, right. Ambrose, being the nutball that he is going to come flying through the crowd and try to get revenge. So it even if it was by accident, it sets up a decent match for SummerSlam. And it fits with what's going on in the company right now.
Yeah. I've said this on Twitter a few times now. There's a lot of focus on Roman Reigns right now. There's a lot of focus on Seth Rollins right now. They're just kind of haphazardly booking Dean Ambrose to fill in the gaps there. And I think it's going to wind up with Dean Ambrose becoming a bigger star than anybody expects, if not a bigger star than both Rollins and Reigns. He's got a big following behind him right now.
He does, but that's not necessarily a WWE following, which is what hurt Punk and Brian. It's like, it's the internet people that remembered Jon Moxley and followed him to WWE. So that might end up hurting him. Hello.
Hi. I'm here. I thought you had more of a point to make. No. And then Chris Jericho defeated Bray Wyatt. A lot of people bitching about that too. I don't get why. Jericho can win one every once in a while. He'll be fine.
This one's going to hurt Bray Wyatt when he hasn't won any other fucking feud that he's had so far.
Yeah, it's not the end of the feud either. I will say too, the next night on Raw, when they did the angle with Wyatt and the highlight reel, first off, the WWE app thing, fucking stupid. Not even R-Truth has the WWE app, evidently.
I loved that.
But secondly, I love Bray Wyatt's entrance because of the fans using the cell phones. I think that's a really cool visual image. But the lighting they had for that segment, I don't think I've seen them use it for Wyatt before, gave a really cool aura to that promo.
the under the face lighting.
Well, they had the under the face lighting, and then there were still a bunch of the cell phones going on in the audience that were lit up. So there was this really cool kind of creepy vibe to the promo because of that. Which it needed, because if it was like well lit and he was like, look what I did to Chris Jericho on the WWE app, wouldn't have held quite the same appeal. Also, I did love the fake blood running from Jericho's ear when I got back. Like, what the fuck did he do to Jericho?
But have you seen, like, on the network, the Bray Wyatt, like, advertising spots? Where he's like, apparently, man, the revolution will be televised.
I have not, no.
But it's like, they do shit like that. I think he was even, like, in the commercial for Battleground, the TV spot that they did for it. And it's like, they're going to get this loony hillbilly to come into a studio and do voiceover work or talk about the WWE network. Doesn't that sort of kill the gimmick?
You don't see The Undertaker doing that shit.
Mm-mm.
So after that, in my opinion, the highlight of the pay-per-view, 19-man battle royale for the vacant WWE Intercontinental Championship. 19-man, not 20. RVD was not in. He was slated to be in. He did not show up. He was sick, I think it was. Maybe he was injured. Something was wrong.
I think he hurt his knee or something.
Yeah, he tweaked something. Wasn't in the battle royale. Gonna be completely honest with you. Don't think that was a big loss. I he would have jumped off something and then he would have got eliminated. Worked out fine. We got a very good glimpse of how the power structure of the WWE works. Cesaro eliminated Kofi there, and then Heath Slater eliminated Cesaro. Heath Slater, therefore, stronger than Kofi. Logic.
But can Heath Slater jump backwards and land on Big E's shoulders?
Big E looked like he was just so far gone, just out of fucks when that happened. He was, okay, all right, I'm wearing Kofi Kingston now.
Kofi Kingston in my hat now. I guess this is a thing we're doing. Really, how is that any different from any other face that Big E pulls? By the way, you should look up, they did like a photo shoot of the new figures coming out.
Yeah.
Big E has a ridiculously large head. I'm going to find that. You keep talking.
I'm looking for it right now.
No, I'll find it. You just talk.
Too late, I found it. Holy shit. Is it the Elite figure?
I think so. God, I'm looking for the article on PW Insider right now.
He's a man with a tiny head and very large, supple breasts. Big E Langston, WWE Series 36. Oh, Jesus. I guess that's what Big E looks like, and that is a black figure with facial hair and that hairstyle. Sure.
I just found the article. This is going to be a great podcast.
Great podcast.
Over an hour in, and it was like, oh, God, where's the article of Big E's giant head?
The Miz won the Intercontinental Championship.
Can that please be the title of this podcast?
Big E has a big head?
Big E's giant head.
Big E's giant head? Sure, fuck it, why not?
Only if we have that picture with it as well. There we go. If this is the figure you're talking about, the one that you saw too.
Oh god, no it's not! What the fuck? It's like... I don't know what it's like. It's just wrong.
I didn't even make it down to the gigantic thighs on this thing either. This is just a strangely proportioned figure.
The thighs are accurate. The pecs and the head are not. He's got a much larger torso than that. But that head... And he looks so just frustrated. He's like, God damn, my head is big. Fuck.
Anyway.
Oh.
So, everyone got eliminated. Dolph Ziggler, last man standing. Until the point where the internet lost their minds because they don't understand how heels work.
As soon as Miz started, like, hanging around outside the ring, I figured out who was going to win it. I don't hate The Miz. I think he's better than he gets credit for.
He's way better than he gets credit for, because no one can let go of the reality show shit from 10 years ago.
Well, I don't give a shit. I didn't watch the reality show shit. I don't care about that.
Well, it's not that he, like, the stuff that he did on the shows. It's just the fact that he was on those shows. That yeah. It's like, he doesn't deserve our respect. He was one of those real world kids, and fuck him. And
I don't give a shit about that. He's a real world douchebag. I get that. He's a douchebag, period. And he's a son of a bitch because he's married to Maryse, and fuck that.
Hmm.
How? In what universe? How? How, Mike?
Jealous.
He looks like somebody smacked him in the face with a shovel.
Now, this Big E picture looks like he was smacked in the face with a shovel.
Maybe somebody smacked The Miz in the face with Big E. No matter what angle you look at the picture from, it's like his eyes falling. I'm over the chicken shit heel Miz. I get that it's what he does best, but it seems like it's the only thing he does.
Well, like, what else is he supposed to do? He doesn't have, like, the build for being a badass.
Not win the Intercontinental Championship?
Why does that matter?
Because I fucking said so.
It's not like the title has meant anything in the last 10 years anyway.
None of these titles have meant anything in the past 10 years. They just kind of swap them around.
It's like they still try to...
Keep this warm for John Cena.
They still try to put some importance around the WWE Championship, but it's like the Intercontinental title, it doesn't matter.
John, keep this warm for The Rock and or Brock Lesnar. And then, of course, the Fatal 4-Way match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. John Cena, Kane, Randy Orton, and Roman Reigns.
I actually sort of pride myself on not going along with the internet and screaming every time John Cena gets a win.
Mm-hmm.
This match made me do it. just because Orton and Cena were both outside. Reigns hits the spear on Kane. I was like, oh shit, that they're actually going to do this. And then Orton rolled in, and immediately my heart sank.
I think my favorite part of the match was when they had to call an audible about 5 minutes in, because it was like they realized, oh, hey, maybe we should explain why Kane isn't just laying down for Randy Orton. Have them argue about it for a few minutes while John Cena and Roman Reigns take naps outside on the apron.
Was that really what happened? Did they call that in the middle of the match?
I don't think they called it in the middle of the match, but it was an issue that was not addressed until during the match. I think maybe there was a throwaway bullshit thing on Raw. Yeah. You could tell they were just doing it there, so nobody would go, wait a minute. But you know, Kane can't be controlled.
He can't be controlled unless they need him to be.
Can't be controlled unless they're controlling him. Unless they're controlling him, he can't be controlled. John Cena, of course, won so that on Raw, Brock Lesnar could come out. So that at SummerSlam, we get Cena versus Lesnar for the title.
Which is going to be a hell of a build because we got part-timer Brock Lesnar. And John Cena's off filming movies right now. So we're not going to have a challenger or a champion for the next 4 weeks of build.
You want to make your title seem like something? Just fucking don't have it on TV for a month. He's too busy doing things that are way more important than you, WWE Universe.
So we're going to have 4 months of Paul Heyman coming out and talking about a match. And then we might actually see the match. And
meanwhile, Cesaro still wanders around the mid-card with a grumpy look on his face.
Now he's an authority guy. He's not the Paul Heyman guy anymore.
Oh, man. I don't want the authority guy, Cesaro. So that was battle shits.
Every single match, except for the Usos and the Wyatts, while not necessarily bad,
mm-hmm.
all felt like something was off a little bit.
The booking?
Just
the booking was a little off.
No, it just felt like everyone was off by a step and not in sync with each other as they needed to be to have a decent show.
Right. It it's certainly, they're definitely in a position where they're still kind of calling audibles right now. Cena's running off and making movies and Brian's injury and all that. So a lot of it still feels kind of slapped together. And I mean, especially now, I mean, like I said, looking at the card now from the card a year ago, it's drastically changed. But looking at the card now from just 6 months ago, it's drastically changed.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely going through a lot of changes and having to call a lot of audibles. And while all this is going on, they're also in a position now where, I mean, the top guy they got right now is a part-timer, Lesnar. Their biggest draw is by far Lesnar at this point. He's a fucking part-timer. They've only got him for maybe 3 pay-per-views a year. There's talk going around that Cena's getting ready to leave the company for Hollywood because he's in his 40s, 40-ish, mid-40s.
I think
frantic Wikipediaing.
Like, I have the page right open.
That should be a segment on this podcast. He's frantic.
He's 37.
37. He's almost 40. He's injured. He is hooking up with just walking sex.
I don't know if you mean that as a compliment towards her or not.
I mean, here's what I've realized. Daniel Bryan is the lucky one. He got the nice Bella, the one that's sweet and cute and you would want to settle down with. And John Cena is also the lucky one because he got the Bella that you plow in the backseat of your car in the Walmart parking lot and then go home and have dinner with mom and act like it's totally normal. I think I mean it as a compliment, yeah. I feel like it's a compliment.
Because I saw you tweet that and was like, I don't know what he means by that, but sure. Anyway. Yeah, but it's like right now there is like a crucial time for them to start creating people that can fill Cena's shoes when he leaves. Right. It's not going to be Brian because now he's been injured and who knows how much longer he's going to be able to go.
Right.
It's like, I think it could be Reigns.
It looks to me like Reigns, Rollins, and Wyatt are being bred to be kind of the big three coming up.
They're going to have to start letting Wyatt win some shit. He has not won any of his feuds.
And yet he's arguably one of the most over guys on the roster right now.
Yeah.
That big fucking heel reaction he gets as he comes out to the ring. That's sarcasm. He doesn't get a heel reaction at all. That man is cheered like a motherfucker. Unless they're at a smart crowd, like Baltimore, was it a few weeks ago? I can't remember who it was.
I don't remember.
They were somewhere a few weeks ago, and it was like the crowd was just all smarks. It was bad. Again, I feel like Ambrose is going to kind of catch everybody off guard and become a top guy pretty quick. They've got the guys, but, I mean, they're having to get these guys groomed and ready to go, and they're all still kind of green, but at the same time, the guys who should be in there putting them over and grooming them are off doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could stick them in there with Orton, but they tried to do that with Kofi, and look where he is. Stupid, stupid, stupid!
Yeah, it's like they're definitely at a point where they need to start thinking about the next generation. And I mean, if they had been not like fucking Punk the last few years, he probably could have been the guy to take over for Cena, but they screwed that up.
He was all poised to be, and then, you know, I mean, 3 years in a row, he was all set, all in line, all ready to go into WrestleMania as the guy. And 3 years in a row, he got pushed down to the middle of the card for The Rock or Batista.
Mm-hmm. Even when he had the championship.
Even when he had the belt. God, even I was pissed off for Punk when that happened.
Yeah.
Dude has the belt walking into WrestleMania for a match with Chris fucking Jericho. And he's just the cooldown match before The Rock and Cena? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's like, if they had actually put him in main events during his title run, I think maybe that whole year that he had the championship, he only main evented like 2 shows.
Yeah, if you go back and look at the, somebody actually just posted, there's a big match graphics thread on fan forums. Somebody just posted like all of the pay-per-view match graphics for 2012. Unless Cena is injured or dealing with Kane, you don't see Punk.
Mm-hmm.
He had the fucking belt for a year and main evented two pay-per-views. He'd come out and he'd open up Raw. Nah, fucking champion, blah, 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 how many days, blah, blah, blah. I'll kick your ass. And then he'd have a match and go away. And that'd be all you'd see of the champ on Raw in the first 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
I mean, in that situation, it's kind of hard for him to bitch because he's champion. But
yeah.
At the same time, it's like they're saying, here you go, you're our guy, but not really.
Our guy, but just kind of, you know, at the same time, though, there is kind of a prevalent theory. CM Punk only held that title for so long because who else were they going to put it on to drop it to The Rock?
Yeah.
There was some bullshit on the fly booking there, too. They fucking ruined Ryback right in the middle of that.
Yeah.
That was when Cena was injured or something? Something I feel like Cena was injured right around there.
Right, I think he'd screwed up his shoulder or something, and
yeah.
he named Ryback as the number one contender for Hell in a Cell, I believe it was.
It was Hell in a Cell, and right as they're booking this and going into it, somebody finally said, by the way, isn't Ryback undefeated?
Yeah.
And that was when you got Brad Maddox and the Nutshot. And Ryback never recovered from that.
And to be fair, whenever they do the big monster with the undefeated streak,
mm-hmm.
it always loses in WWE.
Brodus, absolutely.
Brodus Clay had it. Ryback had it. I was going to say Albert Tensai had it. I think Kali had it at the beginning of his career, and look what he's doing now. It's like they bring in the big guy, they have him be undefeated, and then it just like it stops being interesting real quick, and they don't know what to do with him after that.
Yeah. But yeah. I miss you, Punk. Like I've said before, I'm kind of glad he's gone because I look at the kind of schlock we're dealing with now and I'm like, I don't have to see CM Punk wading through this shit. I get to remember Punk when he was really fucking good. But at the same time, save us, Punk.
It was like if they hadn't fucked him, if they had just
seriously.
Worked with him a bit and kept him happy, he could still be there right now. It would probably be a much better product right now if he was still there. I mean, we wouldn't have had Daniel Bryan as the champion, but...
As best I could tell, he only had, like, one request. He just wanted to main event WrestleMania. And I know that sounds like a tall order, but you gotta remember, like, the kind of era we're in with CM Punk. He's a big fucking deal. Even now that he's gone from the company, every couple weeks, something... Oh, this and this happened. What does it mean for CM Punk's future with the company? Even though, as it stands right now, there is no future with the company.
Exactly.
CM Punk. He's gone. He's fucking gone. His contract's over. He's gone. He's hosting fucking music award shows now and starting podcasts and bands and fires.
Did you see the video that came out about him saying he's never going to wrestle again that the internet fucking ran with because, as he stated in the video, they wouldn't get?
Yeah. He was like, they're going to hold me to that, you know?
Yeah, because for anyone who didn't see it, Tarf.
Tarf. Hey, Tarf.
He was on the red carpet for this music award show. I forget what it was for. And the guy asked him, so are you coming back to wrestling or when are we going to see you wrestling again? And he's like, no, I'm not going to wrestle anymore. And then he grabs the mic and looks in the camera and very tongue-in-cheek goes, I will never, ever wrestle again. And then hands the mic back and is like, you know, the internet's going to hold me to that and stuff. And it's like, so even he was just kind of brushing it off. It was a joke. He knows he'll probably be back wrestling somewhere, if not WWE, someplace. And
later on in the night, there's a bit there where he's a Billy Corgan asked Punk, said, you willing to talk wrestling? And Punk said, for you, I'll talk Stan Hansen.
Yeah, he even brushed it off, and then immediately after that video went up, all the dirt sheets, Punk says he's never gonna wrestle again!
I still maintain I think we'll see him back soon, but if they had worked with him, I think he'd still be around. I don't think we'd be in a better state, but we'd at least be in a more interesting state.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, right now, it was all being built around Brian, and that didn't happen. And so now it's just kind of built around Cena and a couple other guys, maybe. I don't know.
But this happens every now and again, where it's like they only have one guy set up to be the top guy, and
they're so desperate, Zack Ryder got a win on Raw.
But it's like they don't realize that they need to have a pool of top guys in case something happens, like your champion gets injured. And this, so it's like they have Cena and then kind of everyone else, and they can't operate that way, especially going into the future. Because once Cena leaves, then it's like now we've got a bunch of guys who are looked at as lower mid-card guys, and who's going to be the face of the company now?
This is why you need a mid-card, and not just Dolph Ziggler jobbing to make people look good and then getting a win to remind you he's Dolph Ziggler. God. I feel like that's a good place to call it a show.
Yeah. WWE, fix your shit. Jesus.
Fix your shit, WWE. We've been going for a lot longer than I expected. This is what happens when Chris makes notes. And you know what the best part is, Mike?
Hmm.
We didn't even hit all the notes.
What? What's next?
Put it in your sock. We'll talk about it next week.
Oh, that's going to be out of date.
Boom. Boom. If you like the show, send us a tweet with Mike Like Socks or Big E's Giant Head or Big E's Giant Socks. I bet he's got some big socks.
Hashtag Mike Like Socks. Hashtag Big E's Giant Head.
Remember, check out youtube.com/homeworldvideo for Let's Play Lego Marvel Super Heroes and Super Sentai single shots. Taiyo Sentai Sun Vulcan just went up. Improved audio. Way, way, way better audio. It's actually enjoyable to watch now. I feel like I shouldn't sell our own product so short.
You might actually like it now.
It's less shit than it was last week. And also Loot Crate Unboxing, for evidently I hate everything but continue to pay for it. And then Mike does some shit in places.
Yes.
YouTube.com/Mike's a fucking douchebag.
I'm just going to let that one go.
YouTube.com/Ben is an asshole.
I don't.
Who knows?
I don't.
Who knows? Who knows whose YouTube channels I'm plugging now?
YouTube.com/Ben is an asshole. Does not exist.
Some guy's like, who are these subscribers? And Tarv's like, I'm Tarv.
Poor Venus.
Poor, yep. There was something else. Oh, Mike's accepting commissions.
Yes, I've got my prices on Twitter, @NoDiceMike. I got it on Twitter and Tumblr and DeviantArt and every place that I post stuff. So if you want some arts did, I'm apparently way underselling myself according to Ben. So you want some cheap arts done, look me up, send me an email. I'll be your best friend.
Crazy Mike's Discount Line Art Emporium. Do you have a wacky waving inflatable arm guy?
I don't yet. Maybe that's what I'm missing.
Just like turn a fan on its side and set the dog on top of it. It'll be close enough.
I can use my socks because Mike likes socks.
There you go! Oh my god, Mike likes socks. Buy his arts.
I'll put a googly eyes on the sock and put it on a fan.
Don't put your sock on Tarv.
I bet Tarv likes socks.
Does he? Tarv strikes me as a sock Nazi. Tarv strikes me as a sandal wearer.
Are you still recording?
Yep, he probably wears sandals with socks.
We should stop recording.
No, yeah, probably.
It's like 3 in the morning where you are.
Yep, see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Socks.